May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a famous Christian prayer which says that to serve God is perfect freedom. This relationship between service and freedom is expressed by Paul in the passage we just heard from Romans. In fact, the word that Paul uses is best translated as slavery. To be a slave of God is paradoxically to be free, he says. This may seem a very strange idea to us. How can this be? Freedom is one of the most cherished values of the modern world. We all value our freedom. We are fortunate to live here in Switzerland and not under one of the many oppressive regimes in our world. In addition, huge numbers of people, up to 49.6 million people in our world today, suffer under modern slavery. 71% of these are women and girls, and a quarter of them are children. Modern slavery includes sex trafficking, debt, bondage, domestic servitude, forced child labor, and the use of child soldiers. Let us remember those suffering in such ways in our prayers and take action when we can through signing petitions and giving money to projects which seek to bring freedom and hope to those suffering under such slavery. We should be thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy. But although we do not live under oppressive regimes and we're not suffering under modern slavery, are we truly free? If we're honest, we may recognize that we can be slaves of many things. Addiction is a form of slavery, whether that is addiction to substances like alcohol and drugs, or compulsive habits like shopping and keeping up with social media. It's not only external situations, rules and regulations, or the cruel domination of others that can constrain and compel us. We can also be enslaved by our own inner attitudes. I don't know about you, but indeed, I sometimes have a strong sense that I want to be freed from myself, from my own selfish compulsions and thought patterns, which is something that Paul goes on to talk about in the next chapter of Romans. We can all be driven by our own egos and selfish desires. But if I could have everything I want and do everything I wanted all the time, would I really be free? Or would I end up the victim of my own appetites? As I said to the children earlier, I might want to be free to eat 10 cream cakes a day. Actually, I don't, but some of you wanted 10 bars of chocolate a day, I noticed. But to do so would not be a very healthy or fruitful freedom. More seriously, seeing freedom simply as being able to do what I want to do and express myself how I want to inevitably brings me into conflict with other people. In the culture wars of today, the demand for freedom of one group can undermine the freedom of another group. Freedom is a slippery concept. So what is the biblical concept of freedom? The defining story of the people of Israel is of being set free. They are freed from slavery in Egypt and led to the promised land. The Exodus is the central story of the Old Testament. As Christians, we celebrate the new Exodus, that through Jesus' death and resurrection, we are set free, not from bondage in Egypt, but from the bondage of sin and death. And we actually remember this every week, week by week, in our liturgy. One of our Eucharistic prayers says, through Christ, you have freed us from the slavery of sin. And another says, his dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. Over these last few weeks, we've been looking at Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul's message is that through the grace of God, we are set free. But does this freedom mean that we then do what we like? Remember the question last week. If God's grace is freely given to us, why not sin as much as we like, as God will always keep pouring his grace upon us and forgive us? Well, as David pointed out last Sunday, Paul explains that this is a serious misunderstanding of grace. God's grace accepts us as we are, but doesn't simply leave us as we are, but works in us to transform us. We've been identified with Christ through our baptism. We must now consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God and grow into that new life and freedom. In our baptism, as David spoke about last Sunday, we are reminded of all that God has done for us through Christ's death and resurrection. We stand in grace. Now we are called to live in that grace and allow that grace to work deeply within us. And this involves deciding what we will do with our freedom. Present yourself to God, Paul emphasizes. Willingly offer yourself, dedicate yourself to the God who has given you life and freedom. This means offering all of ourselves. Paul speaks here of presenting your members. This means presenting the different parts of our body, but more also the different capabilities, different faculties that we have. What are our talents and our faculties, our capabilities used for? What are they dedicated to? We are not to use them as instruments of selfishness, simply to please ourselves, our own appetites, our own ambitions, but to use them for good in serving God. So we are to present every aspect of ourselves to God. And this process takes a lifetime. We may be aware, if we're honest, that there are certain areas of ourselves or our lives that we keep closed off from God. There are no-go areas which we exclude from God. This bit of myself and my life is private and it has nothing to do with God. This may be how we use our money. It may be how we treat the environment. It may be our sex lives. It could be anything. But the God who has poured out his grace freely upon us also wants us to give him willingly our total loyalty in every area of our lives. Freedom by itself is not enough. We have to decide then what we're going to do with our freedom. How are we going to use our freedom? Paul's message to the Romans and to us is that true freedom means being a slave of God. Now, we may be shocked and appalled by this idea. We are free people. We don't want to be the slave of anyone, even God. But for Paul, there is no such thing as freedom in a vacuum. Freedom is always directed towards something or someone. Don't you know that you are the slaves of the one whom you obey? Paul asks. Some of you may remember the Bob Dylan song, which was popular in my university days. You gotta serve somebody. Or a modern commentator who writes on this passage who says, the man who imagines he's free because he acknowledges no God but his own ego is deluded. For the service of one's own ego is the very essence of slavery to sin. That little voice inside saying, me, me, me. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, we have been rescued from ourselves, from our tendency to follow our own selfish desires and put ourselves first, which is the essence of sin. So are we then going back to being enslaved to these desires? Paul stresses that this is illogical. We've been rescued by Christ. We have a new freedom. Why are we then going back to our past slavery? Of course, this is what human beings do. Just as the Israelites, who'd been freed from bondage in Egypt, grumbled in the wilderness and wished they were back in their own slavery. They found it hard to embrace their new freedom. Slavery was easier. For us too, we are still tempted to live in a selfish way and justify our sinful habits and attitudes. We still often want to do whatever we want, even if this is an illusory freedom. Paul encourages the Romans not to be slaves to sin, to their own selfish desires and attitudes, but to be obedient to God. He says this involves being obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you are entrusted, to give the whole of ourselves from the heart to all that we've been taught about God and his grace. And this obedience isn't static. What we dedicate ourselves to, how we use our freedom, will change us. If we're slaves to our own selfishness, then we will grow to be more and more selfish. In fact, we will be slaves to greater and greater iniquity, as Paul puts it. If we're slaves to God, we will grow in sanctification, that is, holiness and wholeness. So where are we going? Where is our freedom leading us? Who are we becoming? Paul asks, what advantage did you get from being free to do exactly what you wanted? What advantage do we get from being slaves to God? And this word advantage literally means fruit. What kind of fruit are our lives bearing? He puts his conclusion starkly. The fruit of being a slave to sin and selfishness is death. The fruit of serving God is holiness and eternal life as we receive the free gift, the endless grace of God. We have been set free through the grace of God in Christ. We are called then to dedicate our freedom to God's service, to allow that grace to transform us, to bear fruit in every area of our lives. Now, David reminded us last Sunday that dying to sin and being alive to God is dramatized in our baptism. Through our baptism, our story and Christ's story are brought together. So we now need to live out our baptism and remember who we are. Several people joined this week have asked, sent emails and messages, asked David and me about how we can remember our baptism better. How can we do that? How can we remind ourselves to live out our baptism? Well, perhaps we can ponder some of the promises and prayers that are said in a baptism service. And I did send out two baptism prayers from the service in my email message this last week. We've got two families here today who are looking ahead to a baptism on the 13th of August. And I hope that you will all be there to support them. During a baptism service, the adult being baptized or the parents of the child to be baptized will promise to turn to Christ as Savior and to submit to Christ as Lord. God sets us free through Christ. He is our Savior. We are called to dedicate our freedom to Christ. He is our Lord. Freedom from sin means living under the lordship of Christ. I quoted this phrase before, but I was very struck by it. One young person in our church recently memorably said, "I am not the hero of my own life story." Or as a commentator on this passage puts it, true freedom is not a random, directionless life, but the genuine humanness that reflects the image of God. And this is found under the lordship of Christ. Let me end with the prayer by St. Augustine that I mentioned at the beginning. Let us pray. Eternal God, the light of the minds that know you, the joy of the hearts that love you, and the strength of the wills that serve you, grant us so to know you that we may truly love you, so to love you that we may truly serve you, whose service is perfect freedom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.